And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the House of Wellness. We're going to help you get well, stay well, live well, and look fabulous. Sally Obermeter is here. Good morning.
Hello, everyone.
Gerald Quigley. Hello,
sir. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Now, I thought it would be nice today if after the show we all popped out for a little brunch, just congratulations, we've made it to the end of the week. But then you strike me, looking at you both, you strike me as difficult in a restaurant. I can see vegans, I can see gluten-free, fructose, nuts,
lactose,
no nuts. It's hard now, isn't it, going to a restaurant with a group of people?
I think it always happens, don't you think? Whenever you go out, somebody will say, oh, listen, I can't eat anything here, I'm lactose intolerant, or I have irritable bowel syndrome, or, you know, kind of, I always feel like the table goes around, everyone sort of talks about what they can and can't eat.
How would you be working in a restaurant these days where you've got six people and you present the menus and one after the other says, now I've got this issue, that issue, some other issue? You'd feel like saying, would anyone just like to order? Yeah. Please, please order.
So we can have a bit of a fun chat about it. But it's, I mean, that gut health now is serious, serious stuff. And Gerald, you've been at this.
I've been conferencing. Very important
about
conferencing.
What's new in the gut health arena?
Well, the new stuff, Larry and Sally, the new stuff's the old stuff. We're learning that the 2 kilogram of bacteria we carry, which is really regarded these days as a separate organ pretty well. We've got more DNA in our gut contents, in those bacteria, than we have in our entire body.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so that determines, now we know, determines how we feel, how much resistance to infection we've got, whether we can tolerate particular food groups or not, what effect, and that gut is also affected by many of the medicines we take. If you take an antibiotic, the whole thing is disturbed.
Uh-huh.
If you take something for indigestion, like a proton pump inhibitor, we spent an hour and a half on those yesterday. Horrific things can happen with long-term medications like that affecting the gut bacteria.
So there's so much for us to consider, and not many people would consider that around the park, would
not
they?
Not at
because
all.
Because there's a very good chance your food's out,
yes.
A little bit of alcohol here and there, and
yes.
Then you put the medication on top of that.
That's
we
right.
have no idea what's happening in there.
True, but we're learning. We're learning very much now that whole organ has to be happy for everything else to function properly. And it was just regarded as just a bit of a nuisance once, but now we understand it's a lot more.
And how do you know if your gut's happy? I guess if it's bloated, then it's not happy.
Bloating, your motility time, how long food takes to get from one end to the other.
Yep.
And in fact, we spent half an hour yesterday discussing a poo chart. I forgot to bring it in. I'm so sorry.
Yes, that's fine. Not a problem.
But we had case studies across the day yesterday of children with behavioural issues that were being treated with all sorts of things, but in fact it went back to their gut function. And once that was stable, everything came good. So quite remarkable things.
Mm. Yeah. And it can make you grumpy, can it?
I beg your pardon?
do you eat with that? Because, Sal, when you're doing your cookbooks and your smoothies and all that sort of thing, you have to keep all of that in mind.
I definitely keep it all in mind. And it's funny because I obviously did a lot of chemo when I was sick, and that was one of the big things for me was that I was trying to get, you know, my gut was out obviously, after being pumped full of medication. So for me, that was the big thing that started me on smoothies. It was like, how can I get as much goodness in, not just into my body, but also into my gut? I wanted to flush, obviously, all the toxins that I had been having via chemo. So that was a big thing for me. And so now we always think about our food when we do the cookbooks in terms of what can we put in here that we make sure not only is good for you in terms of, you know, vitamins and minerals, but also gut health. We know it's important for people.
That's right. And the smoothies are great, Sally, because during chemo, and, you know, we're all living older, living to be older now, so there's probably more chemotherapy type things. And one of the issues there is you lose your sense of taste.
Yeah.
And you find food almost detestable. You don't
completely.
You don't want to eat. And also a lot of older Australians have trouble swallowing. As you get older, the little muscle at the top of your throat starts to play up. So there's more choking and there's more issues involved in swallowing solid food. Mashing it up, putting it into some smoothie type base, ideal solution.
Okay, so given that 98% of our listeners and 99% of people in this room, their gut is probably out of balance, is there a one step that we can find? Is there a test that we can do and then look at the chart and go, this is what we need to fix it, or is it far more complicated than that?
It's not all that difficult because it's a matter of preparing food correctly, choosing foods wisely, taking your time. We've had a generation of change that families don't now eat as a – you've each got families as we have. But so we've gone from a stage of having breakfast together and, say, dinner together when everyone's out during the day. That the whole structure is a little bit different now, where the chance to sit down, socially engage like the Europeans do, we don't do that in Australia now. So eating is a bit of an interruption to your daily routine. And that's not good for your tummy. It's not good.
Okay. I know some grumpy Europeans. I'm just saying that I do. Sal, will you do us a favour today? Is your recipe gut healthy for us
it
today?
It is. It's not only one pot, but it is also gut friendly. So I feel like I've ticked two boxes now.
Yeah, good.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. That's coming up a little bit later on. Gerald, of course, taking all of your calls, 131-873. That's 131-873. And we're going to talk about diabetes today as well, Gerald. Very common.
Very generally, Larry, sadly, diabetes, I think, is one of those, excuse me, there, it'll be okay, you're doing okay type conditions. But sadly, diabetes, I think, isn't treated and looked at sufficiently seriously. So we have a lot of people that take diabetes medications who really are frustrated that things aren't as good as they might like to be. So we'll look at a couple of options there.
Okay, we'll talk about that shortly. Vitamin D also is essential for our health. Despite our sunny climate, however, most Aussies are vitamin D deficient. We're going to chat to Dr. Ginny Mansberg, a favourite of ours, about all things vitamin D and find out the quickest ways to get enough vitamin D this spring. Also chat to Zoe Marshall, of course, co-host of the House of Wellness TV. And all of our callers go into the draw for the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. Gerald standing by to take those calls, 131-873. That's 131-873.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
131-873 is our number. And Valerie, good morning. Welcome to the House of Wellness. What's your question for Gerald?
I've just been diagnosed as being diabetic type 2.
Yes.
And to tell you the truth, I have absolutely no idea what food, what fruit, what to eat.
So, Valerie,
I'm frightened.
And that's a fairly common feeling. So, first of all, don't be frightened. This is an inability of your pancreas to produce sufficient insulin. So what you've got to do is look at, and you need the help of a dietitian, Valerie. Your GP can easily arrange a visit where you can get some simple instructions of foods to focus on and foods to maybe shift your focus away from. And that takes the pressure off your pancreas. So are you taking some medications, Valerie, or is that
I'm on Diabex 1000.
Okay. And is that controlling things? You're checking your blood sugar?
No, not really.
It's a pretty good idea. It's like driving a car without checking how much petrol's in it, Valerie. So, you should have a chat. There are lots of very simple blood sugar tests available. So have a chat to your pharmacist. Get one that's easy and preferably that little finger pricker. There are some that don't really hurt. Some do hurt, but there are others that don't hurt. That's important. So you can check, but please go on and see a dietitian and you'll be given, as I said, some instructions and everything will be okay. So don't be frightened. This is just something that you will manage and live to a ripe old age.
Can you recommend what sort of kit?
Well,
suitable for me.
There are a couple of
needles.
Yes. Well, it comes as a very small kit, Valerie, and very simple to use. And you test your blood sugar a couple of times across the day. Your GP will give you instructions as to the best time to take those tests.
Right,
your pharmacist will demonstrate the kit for you so that you can confidently use it. And this is a good time to get to know, go and give your pharmacist a hug and say, hey, I need your help here to help me manage this and help me live to a ripe old age. And you will.
Oh, thank you so much.
So be reassured, Valerie. It's
me feel so much better.
Good, and that's important. So well done. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling in. Valerie, I actually got in trouble for hugging my pharmacist, but that's another story. So
did you blame me? And on that, you know, normally in the studio when I see you each week, we're scattered at the... And because we're sharing a screen, it's very cozy.
I don't know if Sally's enjoying you sitting on her lap like that. Well, it's hard to believe, but despite our sunny climate, most Aussies are vitamin D deficient. In fact, it's estimated one in four Australian adults do not receive adequate amounts of vitamin D. So how do we tell if we have enough vitamin D, and what's the quickest way to get enough vitamin D this spring? Dr. Ginny Mansberg joins us. Good morning, Doc. Welcome to the show.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. Now, what's the biggest cause of vitamin D deficiency in Australia, would you say?
Yeah, so it's a really weird vitamin because unlike, you know, most of your vitamins you get from your salad bowl, this one actually gets activated in the skin from sunshine. So being indoors all the time and not getting enough sunshine is the number one cause, and all of us Aussies are working too hard. And if we're not at work, instead of getting out and enjoying the sunshine, we're sitting inside on our iPhones, checking out Instagram and not getting out into the sunshine.
Yeah guilty. Ginny, what do we actually need vitamin D for?
Man, what do we not need it for? It's actually interesting. If you have a look at vitamin D receptors, they're on pretty much every single cell in your body. The one that we've known about since around the 70s is the importance for bone health. So it strengthens bones and sticks calcium in bones. And people who don't get enough calcium, little babies will get rickets, you know, that old thing, which we're actually starting to see a little bit return in Australia in some communities. And osteoporosis is the big one in the elderly. But now we've had a lot more studies recently that have linked vitamin D deficiency to a whole battery of other things, from cancer to heart disease and diabetes, psoriasis, inflammatory conditions, poor immune system function, poor mental health, all of that. Finding the exact causation link has been tougher, a bit more elusive, but it looks like it's coming, you know, that we're actually able to show that not getting enough vitamin D is actually causing some of these problems. Mm.
Ginny, it's Gerald here. How are you?
G'day, I'm good. How are you, Gerald?
We were talking food sensitivities just a few minutes ago. Do you think from a sensitivity perspective, allergy perspective, immune function perspective, does vitamin D play a role in all of that?
Well, I mean, Gerald, you know all of this as well as I do. I mean, we're playing catch up on the studies, right? Mm. So we know that it's critical for immune system functioning, but proving that link has just been a little bit elusive. I think watch this space, and that stuff will all come out in the future, and we'll tease out exactly what that relationship is. I mean, is it that people who hang out indoors all the time have low vitamin D because they're not in the sunshine and also are more allergic, or is the vitamin D the missing link we don't really know
yet? Sure, so the dog chasing its tail, essentially.
Absolutely, as usual.
Yeah, now, Ginny, for many of our listeners, and indeed I'm guilty of this too, I grew up surfing for 10, 15, 20 years before we'd really even heard of sunblock, you know, just floating around the beach all day, every day, and that's wrong. Plenty of our listeners will be in the same position, having spent time outdoors long before sunblock was around. Yes. So clearly, we've all made those mistakes, but where are we at now time-wise? How do we know when we've had enough vitamin D and when that's too much sun? Is that a minute-by-minute proposition, or how do we get around it?
Sorry, it's even more complex than that. So I'm going to stay with me on this one. It all depends.
Right.
So vitamin D comes in on the UVB spectrum. So if you remember, UVA is for aging, and it is across the day from sort of 7 in the morning to sunset. UVB is the one that it's linked to B for burning and skin cancer, and it's the reason why we get told to stay out of the sun between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. because that's when it's most at its fiercest. But that is the sun ray, the UVB rays, which contain the vitamin D. So having said all of that, it depends on where you are. So people in Queensland get much more vitamin D than people in Launceston. You know, people who've got fair skin actually absorb much more vitamin D from the sunshine than people who've got dark skin. Mm. If you wear a bikini, you've got much more skin contact with the sun than people who, you know, cover head to toe. So there are a whole lot of things that are variable. But what we say is this: take your burn time, divide it by 3, and that is what you need to maintain your vitamin D levels. So what that means is if you are a dark-skinned person who lives in Launceston and who only ever goes out at 7 in the morning, it might take you 3 hours to burn. Well, you'd need an hour just to get enough vitamin D. But for me, I'm so fair, I think I should have been born in a peat bog in Scotland and stayed there. If I went out in a bikini in Toowoomba, I would be burnt in about 3 minutes flat. So I'm probably going to get all the vitamin D that I need in 1 minute.
And so Ginny, how long does that vitamin D last you? So you're talking about getting enough, but then when does it run out? Like, when do you have to top up?
Yeah, it's a moving feast, and it depends. And so you're getting a little bit each day, and even if just you walk to work, you're going to be constantly topping up a little bit. But you can't ever say I've got enough and I don't need to go out in the sun for another few months. It's sort of a constant proposition.
Mm. Okay.
The law, Ginny, of unexpected and unintended consequences means that the slip, slop, slap campaign we've grown up with, has that in fact brought on a level of vitamin D insufficiency in Australians?
Yeah, but at the same time we're cutting down melanoma, and we're still the melanoma capital of the world, and melanoma will kill you. And while vitamin D deficiency will certainly increase the risk of certain conditions that will kill you. I mean, I don't want to underplay osteoporosis.
No.
Breaking your hip when you're elderly can put you in a hospital and you can die of pneumonia. It is a big risk.
Sure.
But melanoma is an absolute killer, and I don't want to say that you don't need to worry about sunscreen anymore. That's not true.
So it's all about balance, you're saying.
It's all about balance. Exactly right.
Good.
Can you get it from food, Ginny? Can you get vitamin D from food?
Yeah, you can a bit. Not great, but you can get it from certain oily fish, and the old cod liver oil. Mm. But also there's a lot of foods that are fortified with vitamin D now. A lot of breakfast cereals, milk, those sorts of things. Mm. So they're our biggest sources of vitamin D these days, or you go and pop a pill.
All right. Very interesting. Dr. Ginny Mansberg, thank you for joining us on the House of Wellness. Always lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ginny. We'll be back right after this. We're talking diabetes.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
You see, you listen to us and you can turn back time.
You can.
I feel 2 weeks younger just reading that ad.
Very clever. Very clever.
Now, we're just talking about Dr. Ginny Mansberg how important that conversation is, because so many of us don't understand the balance. But I think the thing is, because we've all got different complexions and all that, and there's probably a rule of thumb, Geraldine.
Yeah, and the rule of thumb, Larry, is that you're sensible. So compared to when we were all younger, when we were not sensible because we wouldn't listen to anybody, we now know that sunburn is a problem. But sunshine is very good for you. So in the morning, in the afternoon, but other times when you're going out in the sun, you must apply a sunscreen.
Right.
Because as Ginny said, we're the melanoma capital of the world. Mm. We need to be sensible about that and reduce the risk of those occurring. So common sense.
Okay. So if you're getting a little bit of sunshine to get the vitamin D, you need to have no sunscreen on. Otherwise, the vitamin D won't get through.
Depending on the hour of the day. But we're talking balance of vitamin D production and the risk of melanoma. So without sounding frightening about the whole thing, if you're out at 9 o'clock in the morning on a day which is sunny, that's fine. You probably won't need sunscreen. Although it's interesting that there are a lot of skincare experts who say we should be applying sunscreen to our faces every day and from an anti-aging perspective. Mm. Not that Larry and I have to worry about that.
No, but I do.
Okay. So we get a little bit of sunshine not the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So we get some fresh air at the same time.
That's right.
All right.
And good for your psyche.
It
right?
is. Good for everything.
It feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, perfect. Now, diabetes.
Yes.
Now, it's on the rise. Type 2 diabetes is definitely on the rise.
Yes, it is, Sally. And as with all the work you do, it must be scary for you to try and understand why that's happening. You know, we've got all the facilities to understand what diabetes is all about.
Yeah.
We know a lot about reducing the risk. And yet the incidence is just, the curve is just going upwards at a great rate. So I wanted to briefly just say, and referring back to our first caller, Valerie, it wasn't the first thing she said. I've had the diagnosis, and I'm frightened.
Yeah,
and that fear is something which is unnecessary, because we're talking here about a condition that's controlled by the production of a hormone, insulin, from our pancreas. And we have the diagnosis diabetes when that production isn't sufficient, or if it is sufficient, that it's not working properly. So the medication that Valerie is taking is commonly prescribed. There are other things. Pre-diabetic men are a big problem these days, where tummies grow, blood pressure goes up, cholesterol goes up. The solution for that, if we're talking natural therapies, is olive leaf extract. So if the man in your house has been told, if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to have a problem, olive leaf extract's been clinically shown to work really very well in reducing the risk. And sensible eating. Less of the junky carbs, more of the quality protein and quality fats, and exercise.
If you get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, yes, can you reverse it by doing these things?
You can. You certainly can. You can help your insulin production by doing those things, by eating more wisely, and exercise. So many things are solved by exercise. Yeah. So, and it's just a matter of getting out and being sensible in your food choices as well. So not much changes, but you've got to think more about the ramifications if you step outside the boundaries.
Isn't it funny to think that if everybody listening just did what we say each and every week, which is basically eat well and exercise, that we wouldn't have a job, right? Because so much of it comes back to that.
Well, we'd have an hour of sales recipes.
That's right.
But it would make a difference. And you'd wonder how many people you come across, or I come across, certainly in my clinic work, that if 30 years ago they had instituted those things or initiated those things, how life would be different.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much science and good research around now, and that we know how to deal with things, and particularly around diabetes. The new research on it is phenomenal and of great help to everybody. All right, we'll take some calls now. Linda, good morning. Welcome to the show. You have a question for Gerald.
Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Gerald. Gerald, look, I have extremely bad arthritis. Mm-hmm. My knees are bone to bone. I don't have cartilage, but I take a Mobic tablet every day, and if I hadn't taken it by 10 o'clock, I would know.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, is there something else? I know they're no good for your stomach, but is there something else I could be taking? I also take an OmniTech. Every time I go to the doctor's, the
blood pressure
comes up.
Yeah.
And so something I'm taking, is it right? But I can't do without them.
Okay. And that actually means you should probably move away from the Mobic. So a couple of suggestions, Linda. Get your pharmacist to give you the best turmeric product he's got, the one that people come back raving about. There's a number of them that are really showing wonderful benefits in people with osteoarthritis. And the other thing for the cartilage, Linda, is glucosamine. Now, glucosamine's been around for yonks. We chatted about it a couple of weeks ago. You need to take 1,500 milligram across the day. It makes an enormous difference to the joint space and helps cartilage production and stops the enzymes that break down your existing cartilage. So glucosamine, turmeric, and the old favourite, eat more oily fish or take some sort of fish or krill supplement.
I do take a fish tablet every day.
Well, you need to take – Osteoarthritis Australia tell us, Linda, you need to take 2,400 milligram of essential fatty acids. So maybe swing across to krill because you need less of those to get the benefits of those essential fatty acids. So 1,000 milligram of krill twice a day.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much for your call. Patrick, good morning. You have a question for Gerald.
The top of the morning to you all.
Hello.
Yeah, my question, Gerald, I've had diverticulitis for quite a while, but last few weeks I've had a serious reaction, which has made me jump to Dr. Google. And according to Dr. Google, I can steer clear of kale, so that's probably a positive thing for me. It does say steer clear of alcohol, so I need a second opinion.
And I could say change your Dr. Google site, Patrick. Look, a couple of things. Obviously, your tummy's inflamed. So what you've got to do is allow it to settle. You can settle that with omega-3 marine oils, being shown across the board to make a difference. You need to eat smaller meals more often, because that takes the pressure off your tummy as well. And the herb of choice in all of this, Patrick, is slippery elm, which coats the outside of your tummy all the way through and reduces the risk of it being inflamed and irritated. So that's the solution. Back off the alcohol short term and start low before you start working up. And any of those foods that you know irritate, don't go near them.
Back off the alcohol. Back that's not what cane. He wanted to hear. All right, Lance, good morning. What's your question for Gerald?
Hi, Lance.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Doc. Last Sunday, my wife called you about osteomyelitis in a big toe, which she has to get. They're going to take the toe off, I think.
Yes.
So, and you. By the way, before I go any further, thank you very much for the gift card.
Oh, pleasure. Yes, I remember your wife's call. Yes. So, what can we help you with today, Lance?
Well, she didn't write it down. You mentioned a probiotic.
Yes, I did, because she was taking antibiotics, Lance, and it's got a big name. It's called Saccharomyces. But if you write S for Sam and B for Betty, your pharmacist will know what you're talking about when you roll in today to buy some. S for Sam, B for Betty. Probiotic.
SB.
Yeah, SB. SB probiotic. And your wife takes that right alongside the antibiotic.
Terrific.
All right, give her our best, please.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lance.
Thanks, Lance. Thanks for calling. Good morning, Robin.
Oh, hi there. Hi, Robin.
How can we help?
Gerald, I've got an infection in my finger.
Yes.
I've been taking Staphylex antibiotics for the last 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been taking probiotics, and some people say you should take, well, a lot of people say you shouldn't take them with your antibiotics. Some people say you can.
Yes.
I've been taking them with my antibiotics, and my finger's actually getting worse.
It depends.
Also, sorry, just to interrupt. They say you shouldn't take these with food, but I have a bad stomach.
Yes.
And I've actually been taking the antibiotics with food because I can't handle it without food.
Yeah, look, that part's okay, Robin. So at least you're taking the antibiotic. I'm just concerned that you think it's getting worse, and that might be worth letting the doctor know tomorrow.
Well, I actually did. I actually called one of those, doctors yesterday, and he actually gave me a script for Keflex.
Yeah, but it's related, and I think you should go and refer back to the primary person that you saw when you went there for the... So before you take that, maybe check with your regular GP.
So is it bad to take probiotics with the antibiotics?
It depends, Robin, on the probiotic. Saccharomyces, which I just mentioned to Lance, is the one that you have right alongside the probiotic. The others you wait until the antibiotic course is finished. So Saccharomyces, S for Sam, B for Betty, right alongside, and it will work and protect your tummy.
All right, Robin, thank you very much for your call. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, Sal has got a special recipe for us.
You bet.
It's going to make your gut happy.
Yes, it sure will. Promise.
It's a happy gut recipe. It's coming up on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Now, Sally Obermeter, I don't know if this is an abuse of power or not, that because Gerald is with us every Sunday, that we save up our own personal questions so we don't have to drive to the pharmacy and ask anyone else.
I'm not sure if it's allowed or if it's in the contract, but I do have a question, Gerald.
Fire away.
Protein powder.
Yes.
Is it good for you? Should you have it?
Well, most people probably don't need it, but for specific reasons, it's a good idea, and it's a good source of getting good levels of protein without having to eat a lot of food. So for people who are perhaps looking at a weight loss regime, a bodybuilding regime, a body, well, in Larry's case, a body sculpturing regime, what went wrong?
that's called photoshopping. That's not protein powder.
So protein powder, now the thing about protein powder, some of them don't taste all that nice. Mm. So you've got pea protein and whey protein. So you get some advice on the one that gives you the one that won't interfere with what you want to put it with. But putting it with a smoothie, for instance, is a great way of supplementing with protein.
And is the pea protein better than a whey protein?
Look, everyone's got a different opinion.
Yeah.
And like most things, everyone has a different – it's very much an individual choice. Mm. I prefer to prescribe whey protein because I think it tastes a little bit better.
Yeah.
But there are others who say, no, the thought of having anything whey-based I don't like, so I'll go with pea protein.
Okay. Mm.
They're easy to make taste nice.
They
You've got
are.
Some terrific recipes where you chuck in a handful of strawberries or a bit of banana or something like that.
Yeah.
And so you're getting a little bit of fruit, even some veggies in there.
Yeah. And that way you're getting your protein plus
boosting the protein. Because it's been shown that protein is better across the day rather than one hit. And most of us have our protein at night. And our body doesn't cope with a lot of protein. So if you have a big protein shake, you're better off to have smaller protein shakes across the day.
And I had read something recently saying that our absorption of iron is not as good as it used to be because, we're not having as much as we probably should from, say, meat sources.
Yes.
But also, I guess, the quality of the soil is not as good, so therefore the quality of the products that we're getting isn't as good, and you just can't absorb it if your body's under stress. So I'm wondering, is that another reason to have a protein powder through the day?
Yes, it is. Well, look, having good organic source food is the best way. And green leafy vegetables are the best source of iron. And in fact, we were discussing iron at the conference that I was attending yesterday, that iron plays such a role, particularly in children, for their behaviour and their growth and their ability to concentrate. And you're right. It's probably a very common deficiency in most Australians for all sorts of reasons.
Mm, okay.
But as we say with everything, you've got to talk to your healthcare professional about this because too much protein,
yes.
if you're going one of these protein-only things where you want to drop carbohydrates, that can be dangerous as well.
Can, yes,
so
it's all in balance. All in balance. And it's a matter of just getting a bit of a plan together So don't just go at it like a bull at a gate. Get some common sense plan. It's not going to happen overnight, whatever you're trying to do. And the more time you take to get there, you'll get there much happily. Much okay. more happily.
We have the lawyers from the shampoo company just called in. Apparently, the "it won't happen overnight" thing is taken.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Quite some time ago. I don't think you can say that.
I'm so sorry about that. But I'll have my. Their people can speak to my people.
Anne, welcome to the House of Wellness. What's your question for
Hello, Anne.
Oh, hello, Gerald. How are you?
Well, thank you.
That's good.
What can we help you with?
Gerald, I take a probiotic, the off-the-shelf one.
Yes, that's good.
Every day. Mm-hmm. For the gut health, but good. Also I'm on or trying to be on a low FODMAP diet. I have all sorts of issues and things like that. Now, I'm wondering, what is the difference, and there's quite a price difference here to the one that you, the Biocuticals one, that you say
the SB.
To people to take.
Yeah. The SB, and before we...
advantage in paying all the extra money for that one?
Well, SB is a particular strain. So that's Saccharomyces, and that's really meant for short term. That's what we call a protective probiotic, and that's what you take when you've had an upset tummy with irritable bowel, or you've had diarrhea that's been caused by travel or by antibiotics. So that's a repairing probiotic. The constant ongoing maintenance probiotic is a little different, and there's a number of different products around with different combinations. All of them are really well formulated in Australia, so there is a subtle difference between the single protective one, Saccharomyces, and the others. I usually prefer the others, the ones that, and I take one every day, but I get one that doesn't require refrigeration. So, but whatever suits you. Anne, but remember the Saccharomyces specific for when there is a gut issue.
Thank you, Anne. Good luck with that. Now, you remember a little earlier I was talking about the Swiss products, all half price at Chemist Warehouse, and I suggested the competition, your chance to win $1 million, was 2 weeks ago. In fact, you have to do this before October the 29th. So to enter, simply purchase any Swiss product at Chemist Warehouse before October 29th. Then register your details, chemistwarehouse.com.au/SwissWin. Good luck with that. Back right after.
This is the House of Wellness for Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings. And Olay, look younger with Olay from Chemist Warehouse.
I couldn't help but notice that the police motorcade has turned up downstairs, which means Gerald Quigley will be in flight to the TV show, House of Wellness.
It's a big rush, Larry, I can tell you. But I want to get there today because I'm going to have my photograph taken with Ash Hart.
Ooh. Oh.
Ed wanted his, and Ash said, no, 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 get into the
backseat.
Well,
she's got an AVO against him.
I'm not surprised. There are lots of things coming up on House of Wellness TV today. We're talking to sleep expert Mark Levi, who's going to tell us some wonderful information about sleep. We have our home physiotherapist, Anna Louise Beauvoir, who's going to talk about body stiffness and the importance of developing muscle groups that probably we neglect as we get a bit older. Mm-hmm. Carolyn Pemberton's been sent out on research to show the effects of lack of sleep and driving. And I chatted to her just the other day about this, and she's going to report all of the results. And she gets into a driving simulator, then has 2 hours sleep the following night, and then does the same test.
Wow.
It is scary stuff. And she said, I didn't even notice. So I was going all over the road. Oh, so that will be on this morning.
All right, that's on 7.2, coming up in about 7 minutes' time.
And I'll start getting changed, actually.
Not here. Leave those clothes on now.
No.
Sal, fix our gut with this yummy recipe.
Oh, yeah. Look, it is all about, as we said, gut health is so important. But also, I think one of the big things that tends to happen is at 3 o'clock, you're hungry, you want a bit of a sugar hit, and that you then tend to put sugar into your body, and that's bad for your gut. So it's sort of like we often think, how can we have something that will hit the spot, that tastes good, that's a little bit satisfying, that'll kind of get you through to dinner, but is good for your gut. So we've got these kind of, you know, we call them craving buster balls, or they're like little balls of goodness. They're good for your gut, and as I said, they kind of, you get that sugar hit without actually having any sugar. So today I've got two for you, and they're both one pot. I know you guys got very upset when I moved into two pots.
This is still traumatized.
It's not even a pot; it's a bowl. It's literally one bowl. So you put everything in. So the first ones are a tahini ball. So it's literally just some coconut, some dried apricot that you'll chop up roughly, some tahini, some almonds, and then you can use either rice malt syrup, which is a great kind of sugar alternative. You still get all the benefits, but without kind of getting that sugar spike. Mm-hmm. Roll them up, mix it up together, roll it up, put it in the fridge. They'll last a week in the fridge, and that's it. That's literally as simple as it is. If you want a different flavor, we've got a raspberry one, which is literally frozen raspberries, rolled oats. Now, oats are so good. They're so calming for your gut, so that's perfect. Good. Coconut, a little bit of coconut oil as well. We talked about how important oil is for your body.
Yes.
Again, mix it all up together, mash it up, literally roll it out into a ball, and they also last in the fridge for a week. So that way you can just pop a couple into a little Ziploc bag, take them to work with you, for example, or put them in a kid's lunch boxes. And that way you're kind of getting a little sugar hit, like without the sugar, and it's also good for your gut.
Because that 3 or 4 o'clock thing brings so many people undone, doesn't it?
You're standing at the vending machine, banging on it, saying, give it to me.
All right, and where can we find those recipes? Up on the website?
They are up on the website, absolutely, on the House of Wellness website.
All right, terrific, Sal, thank you. Gerald, our $100 gift voucher.
The winner today is Patrick, who had that difficulty with Dr. Google, who told him that he should be cutting back on his, and we've tried to help him. Patrick, you today are the winner of the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. Congratulations.
Dr. Google has a lot to answer for.
Well, in Patrick's case, yes, he's horrified.
Yeah. at the no drinking.
All right. Guys, thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Good to see you both. Great.
Now, we're not going for lunch because there's vegans and there's nut allergies and there's
and I have
kosher.
Work to do.
And
you're off on the show. So just Larry and I will.
All right. Thank you, Gerald. We'll see you on TV in just a few minutes' time. Thank you, Sal.
Thanks, guys.
Next week, we hear so much about probiotics now, but is it all hype? We'll talk about that next time on the House of Wellness. Thank you very much for your company today. We hope that you've enjoyed the show as much as we have, and we'll see you next time on the House of Wellness.